really excited about the World Series. I think all Canadians are. Kind of unique. You know, I saw it with the Raptors, obviously, when they won, and obviously now it brings the whole country together, which is special. You know, that's what sports is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring people together, and it's fun to see everybody come together to support the Jays and the amazing run they've been on.
Isn't that true? Isn't that true how sports can bring people together? We feel it with the Jays, and I'm pumped and excited that we're going to be carrying the Jays games live on our radio station. You can tune in to CJME and CKOM and catch the broadcast, all the games live tonight, starting, of course, at 6 o'clock. And the good thing about this, as an old copper who spent a lot of time driving around in a patrol car, it's days like this you felt like you were missing out. You're working a night shift. Everyone you know is either at home or at a pub, glued to a TV watching the game, and you're in the police car. Now, that comes with the territory, but I'm happy that by tuning into CJME or CKOM, you won't miss the game. Yeah, you might have to pop out of the car if duty calls and those types of things, but you can listen along. So listen here. We're proud to be part of the Sportsnet Blue Jays Radio Network, CJME, CKOM, carrying all of these World Series games live. Okay, it's kind of like following the bouncing ball here these days because we've got a lot of different things going on. Yesterday, we saw and heard the details of what bail reform will look like for Prime Minister Mark Carney and the Liberal government. He shared, if you think back to last week, some hints at this bail reform announcement. As of yesterday, we learned what the sweeping bail and sentencing reforms will look like. More than 80 changes to the criminal code, specifically targeting toughening up on bail and sentencing laws. Bill C-14 proposes dozens of targeted changes to the bail and sentencing framework under the federal criminal code. Just to take a bit of a deep dive into this and look at it from a couple of different angles, I always appreciate the opportunity to sit down and chat with my next guest. Kurt Griffiths is a professor emeritus at Simon Fraser University's School of Criminology. Through the years, I've had the opportunity to work with, listen to, read reports from Kurt Griffiths, and each and every time I'm impressed. And again, happy that we're able to connect with Kurt here this morning for a quick chat. Kurt Griffiths, thanks for joining our program.
Thanks for inviting me, Evan. I appreciate it.
So maybe just start with your reaction to what has been, I mean, this is probably one of the most significant bail reform pieces of legislation in recent history anyway.
Well, that's true. My first reaction is I've seen this movie before over the last three or four decades. Here we go again, doing criminal justice reform in a reactive, highly politicized environment. You've got a federal Liberal government, a minority government that's tied in the polls, basically, with the opposition. They've been labeled soft on crime, and they're on the run, not only in terms of, obviously, trade negotiations, which hit the papers again this morning, but also in terms of being soft on crime. And so now they're going to do a, quote, reform. I would use that term extremely loosely. It's actually the worst way to do it. It's a reactive political move, and it really doesn't take into account the systemic kinds of issues that are affecting the criminal justice system generally, of which bail is just a manifestation of those problems. I don't think that tinkering with one little part of the criminal justice system is going to provide, you know, positive, sustainable outcomes. So that's my initial reaction.
Well, so let's just, because I want to break down a couple of the different points. But before we do, I was reading an article in the National Post this week from John Iveson, who said liberals are solving a political problem, not reforming bail. And essentially what he's saying is these changes will have likely a more minimal effect on actual public safety, but might be successful in acting as a shield for the Liberal Party to lose people in terms of, you know, their ability to be tough on crime. Would you agree that this is more political than anything?
I would agree, and in support of that position, I would say this has not been a deliberative process, and one that's what I would say is research informed. In other words, it's just off the cuff. And again, they're watching the polls and decided we've got to have a move here. We've got to make a splash. So it's not a deliberative process. If you want to do substantive criminal justice reform, you have to look at the whole system. You just can't look at one part of it, which is bail in this case, because it intrinsically tied to other parts of the criminal justice system that haven't been addressed and are still problematic and have been problematic for decades.
So in the discussions about this, what keeps coming up is, and I think this lends itself to what you just said, Kurt, is that there are elements of the system that are almost counterintuitive to some of these changes that are being proposed. And what keeps coming up is this notion of the principle of restraint, which requires judges to release, you know, arrested individuals at the earliest opportunity under the least restrictive conditions. Do you see that being an impediment to these changes?
Well, I mean, I think let's not forget what political party has been sponsoring that principle of less restraint over the decades, and now it's coming back to bite them politically, and also in terms of public safety. I think we have to consider public safety lens here when we talk about these issues. And you'll notice that in this new legislation, it doesn't really address. It says judges should consider, quote unquote. Well, judges in Canada have incredible broad discretion under the criminal code, as well as limited accountability, okay? And then you've got the actions of Crown Counsel, chronically underfunded, limited accountability and review of their decisions, and then you've got corrections. Well, you have to ask yourself, why are they releasing all these people on bail? Well, if you drill down a little bit on that, you'll find out the provincial jails are chronically overcrowded. Massively overcrowded, and that's, of course, where people are kept if they're not granted bail. So there are all sorts of system pressures and dysfunctions that are going on that are kind of resulting in what we've seen with bail. But the wording, the context within which bail decisions are going to be made under this new legislation hasn't changed at all. All it says is judges must, quote, consider, unquote. Well, okay. And I think that you mentioned earlier, and another observer said it may not make that much difference at the end of the day. So that's my position, because we haven't addressed the other related factors to bail. Like I said, judicial decision-making discretion, Crown Counsel's decision-making, and the capacity of correctional institutions to hold more people. I'm not sure where they're going to put them.
Yeah, I saw the interview that was done just yesterday with the federal minister Sean Fraser saying that the provinces better be ready. Like, he basically threw the ball in the provinces' court, saying, you're the ones that look after the correction systems and the jails, so you better be ready.
Well, the provinces should be ready, but, you know, one of the trends that's happened across the country, it's in every provincial jurisdiction, that the provinces haven't come to the table. You've got persons with mental health issues, addiction issues, housing challenge. Where's the province? A lack of treatment beds. I mean, Alberta's probably taken the lead in that area. Ironically, a conservative government's been much more proactive in terms of treatment. Next door here in British Columbia, we had harm reduction. We had safe supply, which has now been acknowledged even by the premier as a failed experiment. So, yeah, the provinces better be ready, but they haven't been ready to help communities all across this country. So I'm not sure. And a lot of these provinces are basically bankrupt. I mean, British Columbia is so far in debt that I don't know where that province. So, yeah, the ball's now been tossed into the provincial court. You know, their track record isn't very good in terms of dealing with it. The majority of people that come in contact with the criminal justice system, Evan, have addiction issues, mental health issues, trauma issues. They're not being addressed. And so if you let somebody out on bail who's got these issues, there could be problems.
There will be problems.
There's no ready access.
Yeah, it's we see it play out for sure. Kurt Griffiths is my guest, Professor Emeritus, Simon Fraser University School of Criminology. Another thing that the minister said yesterday, Justice Minister Sean Fraser, he said the federal government is now going to work with the provinces and territories to better understand how many people are receiving bail and then committing additional crimes. Why was that not part of the makeup going into this?
Yeah. No, well, back to my original point. I mean, if you're going to do criminal justice reform, substantive criminal justice reform that's not, I mean, most all criminal justice has a political aspect to it, but you can be research informed, as I mentioned earlier. Now they're saying, okay, we passed the legislation, now we're going to gather some data. So what? I go, okay. You know, and what if the data that they find contradicts what they've done in terms of the legislation. Well, the legislation's already been passed. So this isn't going to happen. Provinces don't have the resources to do this. They're all struggling fiscally, and criminal justice gets pushed to the back burner until a critical event happens, particularly as we've seen over the last several years, these high-profile incidents of people being released on bail who commit violent crimes. And I, again, putting on the public safety lens, which is important for us, my view is if we look at these cases that have been high-profile where people have been released on bail, you could have handed that file of that person to 12 people at a bus stop, which is my standard of reasonableness, and say, do you think this person should have been let out? And it would say, no. So you've let people out who are violent people, and they kill police officers, they kill other people and wreak havoc in the community. It's not rocket science in terms of who poses a risk.
Kurt Griffiths is my guest. Last question, and perhaps the biggest one, Kurt, is the federal government makes a call to Kurt Griffiths. Says, we're going to fly you down to Ottawa. We're sitting in front of you with blank pieces of paper. We would like you to tell us what steps we need to take to truly make reform in our justice system that is going to make a difference. Can you give me a couple bullet points? What would you be telling them?
Well, first of all, they've got to have a systemic look here. A bail is just one part of the system. And as I suggested, the challenges of bail are reflective and symptomatic of the larger issues that we have throughout our criminal justice system. Another issue that I think should be on the table is accountability. I mentioned that earlier. How do you hold the judiciary accountable while maintaining their independence? How do you hold Crown Counsel accountable for the decisions they make? I mean, we hold police officers accountable. I mean, Lord, there's so many layers of accountability of police. And you say, well, you know, we have to have the police accountable because they have the right to use lethal force. You make a bad bail decision and you're getting people killed. And so there are decisions that are being made other than by police, including by parole boards. I sat on the British Columbia Board of Parole, now defunct, for 5 years. Colleagues made lethal decisions by letting people out who committed serious crimes and caused fatal harm to people. So those are two things that I would put on the table for the federal government. But they're busy looking at the polls. I don't think I'm going to get that invite.
Kurt Griffiths, I always enjoy our chats. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of time today.
Sure, Evan. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Take care.
Kurt Griffiths, Professor Emeritus, Simon Fraser University School of Criminology. I first met Kurt probably about 2000. I was at a national conference. We were talking about crime. I think bail reform, believe it or not, 25 years ago, was one of the topics that we were talking about. And I just remember listening to him thinking, gosh, this guy makes some good sense. Like, he really does. And he's just got the credentials behind him. He sat on, as you heard him talk about, sat on provincial and national boards and organizations that just really have provided him with a really good perspective of our system and where change needs to be made. So I appreciate Kurt joining us. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to open up phone lines and text lines. We got lots we can talk about, whether it's these bail reform changes, whether it's Donald Trump's recent frustration with Canada over the Ontario ad promoting Ronald Reagan's speech from 1987. We can go back to the throne speech if you want. Open phones and lines coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.